Hello, everybody. Welcome to This Must Be The Place. I'm your host, Imogen J. Lister. Here we are talking to your favorite artists about their favorite love songs. We're talking about the music, the memories, everything in between. And today I'm talking with my friend, Carolina. I'm really excited about this. I've seen her perform a few times now, but the last time I was like blown away. Like the composition that she's done with her band is so gorgeous, and the whole aesthetic that you've designed, everything about it. I'm excited to see where this project goes. How would you describe the style? I don't really know if I have a way to do it. How would you do it?
Yeah, it's alternative rock, I guess, in its essence, but it's got a lot of elements from folk music. And for a while, I was calling it Folktronica while I was kind of in like an Imogen Heap vibe. But these days, I think I'm leaning more towards just like, it's alternative rock. I feel like that's a very big umbrella term, and I'm happy with all the things that it encompasses. But yeah, at its core, I think it has influences from a lot of different places. So I'm glad that it can't really be, you know, boxed up.
Yeah, I definitely hear like the folk vibes. There's almost like a Western kind of element to it. Like I always, like maybe it was just the fact that you guys were dressed as cowboys and like in your kind of Western fit. But I do feel like that like fits the vibe. Like it feels like kind of Canyon-esque. It feels kind of almost Lord Huron, but like less folksy than that. Like there's a really cool energy when you guys are on stage.
That's
yeah.
So nice. Thank you. No, of you're course. Right. You were definitely influenced by the outfits. But no, I feel like, especially lately, I'm definitely like the kind of musician that is like very immediately influenced by things. Like, I don't know if that makes sense, but if I'm going through a certain phase of something, whether I'm like listening to something a lot or, you know, even if it differs from what I had been listening to before, I think it immediately kind of takes shape in the way that we perform our songs, even if like the songs have already existed in a certain way before. I don't know if that makes a lot of sense, but I think like in the last few months, I've definitely been listening a lot more to just like straight up songs. Like, I don't know how to describe it. For a while, I was mostly listening to like Radiohead and Bon Iver and, you know, and Bjork and like all these people who have a very unique approach to songwriting, but like the songs are, you know, they're so kind of a thing of their own that I don't know that I would classify them necessarily in like this other category that I'm thinking of just like, you know, some straight up like head banging songs,
just
you know,
vibes, just straight
yeah.
vibes.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, maybe that's where it's coming from.
So what's been influencing the music recently?
Recently? Okay, true. It's a lot of fun stuff that I hadn't listened to in the past. Like, for example, MJ Lenderman. This is going to be really controversial because I don't know if you're familiar with like this new album that came out. I think it's called Manning Fireworks, but I forget. I feel like a lot of people around me had a huge moment with that when it came out and we're just like big fans. It's sort of in this just like very just indie rock vibe. Mm-hmm. Very straightforward. Like, I like to think of it as like, you know, you can name every instrument and you can hear everything exactly as it is. It's a very clear kind of sounding record. And I don't know, the first time I heard it, I was just kind of like, I see it, but I also like don't vibe with it. And then I gave it another full listen and I was like, oh, you know, this is awesome. It's simple, but it's awesome. And it's also complex in its own way, you know, but I had to really like kind of look for that. So I'd say that record. And then been listening a lot to like, well, the new Bon Iver that came out, which is also really awesome.
I haven't listened yet, but I'm excited.
It's cool. It's really, really cool. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. See, now I'm blanking on like everything that I listen to on a daily basis. This is really random, but there's a cover of Teenage Dirtbag that this electronic artist called Sega Bodega did years ago. This was, I think, during the quarantine. And I've been having another moment with that because I loved it when it came out. And I've been like re-listening to it almost every day. It's like, do you know Hide and Seek by Imogen Heap?
Yeah.
It's like vocoder. Classic. The whole thing is just vocoder and like a bassy synth. It's so awesome.
That's so fun.
I guess that's what's been influencing me these days.
Yeah, that kind of like stripped back electronic vibe.
So like both ends of the spectrum. Yeah. Like a real song and then like some weird electronic thing.
That's really cool. And I definitely hear that in like the vibe of your performances and everything. And like you want to work more with like the harmonics, I understand. And like they have like that kind of like that like jazzy but like that like very raw but also electronic influence to it.
And I think I've been thinking a lot about how my music I think lends itself really well to improvisation, which is why I work really well I think with the harmonics, or why it has such an impact I think even for me like while I'm performing with them, because they're very much driven by improvisation and stuff. And it must be because of my jazz background. Like I'm pretty sure I started really like listening and making music with other people in a free sense. Like I was in this sort of ambient ensemble that was like three, you know, it was just three of us, two friends of mine, and we were just free improvising. And I think those were some of my earliest like live performing experiences, which I think has really left a mark in the way that I perform live now, is very much just like trusting in the people around me. And I trust those guys a lot. Same as I trust my band here too.
That's so cool. You have like such a like group around you to support you.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Awesome. How do you feel about listening to the first song?
Ready to get into it?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Also, attention to all the listeners. I'm sorry if these... I overthought my selections a lot. I hope that these are okay.
I think they're going to be great. And like you were saying before we started recording, we might end up going kind of like off track and talk about some other music. So it'll be a fun conversation.
Perfect.
We'll jump around. This first song that Caroline has chosen is Hidden Place by Bjork.
So good.
What a vibey song. What a like, I don't know, just like real, like straight to the point, like groovy, but like interestingly made song. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was having a hard time because I'm like, this is a song about love. I don't know if I would classify it as a love song. I think it is. Let me prove my point. I'll prove my point. When I was picking songs, I wanted them to resonate with me. And I realized as I was sort of going through my arsenal of like, you know, songs that have shaped me and that I listen to, I found that I don't listen a lot to things where it's very like, you know, I love you, clear to the point type of thing. And it's maybe because I don't think I've ever felt that before. However, with this song, I mean, I could talk about it forever. Also, this whole album is really good. Everyone needs to listen to Vespertine at least once, just from beginning to end. Every song is an island, it feels like, and they're all amazing. But then this one, though, I was like, I feel like she's captured this beautiful, innocent sexuality thing that like makes this a love song for me, because it's almost a devotional, you know, to this other person. And so I really dig it.
That's cool. Like, explain that a little bit more, like this idea of like the innocence of it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
While I was thinking about it, I was like, it's kind of weird maybe to put those two words together, like innocence and sexuality. But I think Bjork forever has, you know, made that connection and made it so well that I think it really hits a very specific part of me that, like, you know, I think maybe that's where the feeling of yearning and longing comes from. It's like this very innocent need for, you know, burying yourself under someone's skin kind of thing. And I think that's the essence of this song, right? It's like, even with the choices that are made with, you know, musically, like, for example, in this listen, I made sure to like really pay attention to it all. Usually I get kind of lost in the groove because it's so, so dope and like so stereo also. But even the idea of like having this choir that's doing that chant and like the da 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 da, that it's almost like bringing the, you know, the sanctity of intimacy into the song, like representing it through like a choir, you know, that I don't know. I feel like that really touches me. And like, I relate a lot to the feelings that she's managed to express here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, I feel like this sort of innocence and like having, like you said, like this idea of how sexuality and innocence don't really go together. But I think like the idea of like this hidden place mm-hmm. is the fact that they're not perceived together.
Exactly.
And like finding this place where like we can kind of protect this for what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And like, you know, she says there's a few lines in there that are so good, but there's some parts where she's like at the very beginning where she's like, you give me this love and I don't know what to do with it. It's like, I feel like Bjork has a way in a lot of her songs to like, she's expressing this almost same feeling throughout a lot of her songs where it's like the very first time that you are with a person or experiencing one thing. Like And I think that's why, you know, she gets compared a lot to like being an alien kind of figure, you know, because it's like, it's true. Her lyrics are very much like this, you know, this first time that you're with somebody, it's like, that's such a big feeling. And she's captured it so well. I feel like in my own writing, I've been, you know, in a similar place where I'm exploring all of these feelings that like, maybe are small, but sort of magnifying them and making them really huge through poetry and through arrangement and stuff like that. And I feel like I learned a lot of it from her.
Mm-hmm. Like finding, yeah, like those small things, sometimes mundane things mm-hmm. that like really can just symbolize something so much bigger.
Exactly.
Yeah, I do that in my own writing mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the symbolism of something small. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
To mean something huge. And she does it in a cool way where she is more direct. I think her lyrics are not necessarily like evasive, mm-hmm. but something about it is just like extra deep. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like there's a bit of a through line in a lot of the songs that in the three songs that I chose for today, this element of like love songs, but like almost obsessive. I feel like there's a feeling of obsessiveness that I had noticed across all my picks of just like, you know, being taken over by a feeling so mm-hmm. much so that you feel like you almost like you're imposing yourself on somebody by having them. And I feel like those are sometimes my feelings towards love.
Oh, is that too revealing? Yeah. No, you're good. I'm the exact same, or I have been the same way in the past anyways.
We got to grow out of that eventually, exactly. But it is awesome. As a songwriter, I will say like to feel things so intensely, it's maddening, but it's also, it's like, you know, it's just like a river of inspiration. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Definitely my best poetry has come out of being in the worst situationships.
Oh. Yeah. Same. Yeah.
So I get it. Did this song like find you in a place in one of like in kind of that obsessive state?
I mean, yeah, I'm trying to remember. Oh my God. Yeah. I feel like actually it found me at not that time. It found me right after. I've always loved this album. I think it's one of those where I have a phase with every song kind of at different times. And then I realize that they exist. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm listening to this for the first time, even though I've listened to it a billion times. And actually the first few times that I listened to the song, I didn't even really clue in on the lyrics, which is odd for me. I feel like I'm such a lyric person, but the groove was so addicting and the harmony is so cool that I almost had it on as like a hype. It was almost like a hype song for me where cool. I was like, yeah. After I had sort of like been heartbroken or let's say like left behind in love. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And yeah, so maybe that's why I wasn't really listening to the lyrics at first, is because I kind of just needed to be like wrapped up in music. But I'm glad that I finally paid attention to them because they're pretty dope.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so interesting because I feel like one of the things where you were mentioning earlier kind of about the song and like how it was like so nice, I feel like Bjork's vocal delivery is so important. Mm-hmm. But also, yeah, like the music really does kind of like, it feels like you're in like a cave and like, yeah, it feels like you're in this like hidden place mm-hmm. that exists. Mm-hmm. So that's really, yeah, that's really cool to like,
she's the best.
In a blanket with it. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got to ask them like, why? Okay. You've talked a lot about like why this song. So I'm not going to ask it quite like that, but this song, like it obviously, like if it was such like a sort of hype song, how did it find its place in being like an emotional love song for you? Like how did it transition there?
Well, mostly because I listened to it so many times. I'm definitely the kind of person who doesn't, I'll like pick a few songs to obsess over for about a month or 2 months. Mm-hmm. And then I'll listen to them over and over and over again and then put them away for a while and then come back to them. And I think the very first time that I really had a moment with that.
Sophia's going to come running in.
Oh, hi, Sophia.
She has to come say hi.
She's the best.
Yeah, I think I was just, you know, it changed when I was exploring the song more as like, this is going to sound maybe crazy, but as a songwriter, sometimes I feel like I like to study songs. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it could be something I've listened to a billion times, but like I will choose one day to just sit with it more and like listen to it more actively. And I think the day that I did that with this song, it sort of changed for me. And then I couldn't listen to it ever again as like a hype song. Now I only really listen to it when I'm sort of in that state of like, of longing and yearning and just wanting to be close to somebody. I feel like that's when I, you know, that's when I relate to it. And I've had moments like that recently where it's like, oh yeah, this song exists. I need to listen to it because it is exactly how I feel right now.
That's amazing. Yeah. We're going to move into our next song very shortly. But before I do, are these all songs that you've had moments of like studying with or like moments of?
Yes, actually. Well, maybe not the last song. The last song is more actually one that I don't listen to as frequently. Maybe you'll get why. It's a bit kind of intense. Even though it's kind of minimalist, it's a little more intense. So I don't really listen to that one as frequently, but it's an awesome song. But yeah, these two for sure. The next one, even more so.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into it then. This next song we're listening to is Acrobat by Angel Olsen. Crazy lyrics.
Oh, my
and
God.
Crazy production. Like, gorgeous.
That
and crazy.
Is such a good song. I always forget how good it is.
That really, like, chilled me, that one. Yeah, that was gorgeous. I've never listened to Angel Olsen before, but I think I have to now.
Oh, yeah, gorgeous. No. She is like...
Poppy's telling me to, too.
Oh, yeah, and the breadth of her work is so... I mean, like, there's so much to chew on, I feel like. She's done a whole lot of different sort of styles. This is my favorite record of hers, I think. And this is one of those songs that I loved as soon as I heard. And I might have been in a bit of like a creative rut when I first heard it. And immediately I was like, I need to cover this song. Mm-hmm. It was, I remember I was still in college. It was my last year of college. And I was like walking back from the grocery store to my house in the middle of the night. And I was like, I need to learn this song right now. And I hadn't had that feeling, I think, for a while because I was like just doing so much work on my final year project and, you know, and like feeling just really drained with music because that was... You know, I studied jazz at Humber and I was doing my like fourth year recording project. It all felt really intense. And I think that doing any music outside of that felt like so much work. And then I immediately went home and I learned it on the guitar and I realized how easy it was, how intuitive it was, you know, because there's like certain artists, I know other musicians are going to relate to this probably, but there's certain artists that like you sit down to learn their material and you're like, this feels right for me. Like you almost find a sense of camaraderie with them. And I felt that immediately with this song. But then nowadays I don't listen to it as much because I spent like an entire week making like a cover of it and like a whole production. And it was pretty intense.
Yeah, you kind of like overdid it a little bit, overanalyzed it. Yeah. But it's beautiful. Yeah, like I gotta say like that first, the verse early on, I was kind of... making a face. Like, I love the way your body's made. I love the way your voice is sex. Yeah. To be the whisper upon your ear, I want to be the bed you miss.
Yeah.
That is, like, exactly how I feel when I have, like, a crush on someone. Oh, I was like, yeah. This is, like, getting to me. I was like, yeah, I get it.
And it's like, that's my favorite thing in songwriting and poetry is, like, when people string together like everyday words and seemingly, like, everyday sentences, but it's just slightly skewed, like, where you maybe wouldn't say that really, but it is just very normal and regular. I don't know, like, I love the way your voice is sex is a crazy sentence, but, like, it's so natural. I don't know. It's awesome.
Like, it makes so much sense within this context of, like, almost like, like you said, like, a little bit obsessive, like it you is, said earlier yeah. on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's this great, I've mentioned Slaughter Beach Dog before on the podcast, mm-hmm. but there's this great line by Slaughter Beach Dog where he's like, if I die, I'll be like, I can't remember the exact lyric, but it's like, if I die, I'll be resurrected and maybe I'll be a disciple and maybe I'll be your cat.
Oh.
And, like, that's, like, the same vibe of just, like, yeah. I am your cat. Like, I want to be everything. Like, I want to just be near you. I want to be comfort. I want to be your person, essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just love, like, right off the bat when she says, you are the witch, I'm your cat. I want to be a bit like you. I hope you don't mind. It's so tender and so, such a simple, but again, like, such a big sentiment. I don't know. That's encapsulated so perfectly. And yeah, this whole song is perfect. I'm actually really glad I chose this one. I feel like this is the most, I think similarly to Hidden Place, when I hear the word, like, love song, I think for me, it really is, like, devotionals. Like, I don't know if you've ever listened to, like, Sufi music or anything like that.
Bit, yeah.
But mm-hmm. it's, I learned, and excuse me if this is sort of, like, surface level knowledge. I haven't, like, studied it super deeply, but I learned that Sufi devotionals, they're about God, but they're, the way that the poetry is written is almost, it could be interpreted as, like, a love song for just another person, but really it's for God, like, the spiritual thing. And so I guess that's kind of it in a small nutshell of my brief understanding of it. But I think what I'm looking for in love songs like that is that similar feeling of, like, there's, like, a spirituality in love that I love it when an artist is able to capture that, you know what I mean? And maybe that's what I mean by obsessiveness, is, like, when you're devoting your whole self to somebody else, or, like, the feelings that you have for somebody else, it really does take over you the same way that, you know, your religion can. I don't know if that's, like, really, that's if that's huge, but
yeah, no, I think that's beautiful. And I think I've never considered how much that's true for some of, like, the love songs I really like too. Mm-hmm. I love, as I've mentioned before on the podcast, I love Boy Genius. Mm-hmm. And Lucy Dacus has this way of finding, like, how to wrap in religion and philosophy into, like, a simple concept of love that I also feel like speaks true. And I think, like, yeah, like, this idea of sort of writing as if, like, this, like, intimacy, I feel like that's something that people kind of forget, people who aren't spiritual kind of forget about the spirituality concept, is, like, this level of intimacy that comes with it, and how much it's, like, you know, like, I'm giving myself to this thing.
That's exactly it. It's exactly that, where it's a reciprocal thing of, like, in order to receive, you also have to give a lot of yourself. And I think there's some people who give more of themselves than others. And you know, and then songs like this are born. You know what I mean? And yeah, it's just, it's so dope. I wish I could be half the songwriter that Angel Olsen is.
Do you find yourself, like, not just in these, like, quote unquote, obsessive romantic relationships, but do you find yourself, like, loving very deeply, just generally?
Yeah, yeah, you're very. I think so. I think maybe because, yeah, I don't think I've had, like, actually way too many romantic affairs or relationships, even really. But it's interesting because I love love, and I'm a very kind of analytical person, which I think is maybe where the obsessiveness comes from. Like, and that word feels a little like huge. Like, maybe it's crazy. Maybe crazy is the right word. I don't know. But I just think I'm naturally a pretty anxious person. I don't know. And like, I want to be, I want to be loved just like everyone else. And I think I've found myself in places where, like, that same level of love and care isn't always, like, reciprocated. You know what I mean? But they've all been great learning experiences, and I'm glad for them, you know? And they've, like, really shaped my music, mm-hmm. which is awesome. So, like, if there's anything that they've been good for, it's been building my discography. So thank you to all the men.
I relate so yeah, hard.
Thanks to all the men. But I do. And you know what, though? These days I'm finding myself, like, way more, like, in an area of where I just kind of want to discover myself. And I think, like, putting the energy and attention away from, like, these, you know, romantic pursuits that I want to have or whatever, like, might make them come a little bit more naturally and not so intense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely gone through that transition, that transformation as well in the last, like, year or two. Mm-hmm. And, but I understand, like, it's like when you feel so deeply, it's hard not to just want to, like, give everyone everything. And then yeah. you're like, why don't they understand how much love I could give them? And you're yeah. like, and it's like, yeah, they never, some people just don't want it.
They just don't want it. And that's yeah. just the way it is. Oh, no, I relate to that. But also, I don't know. I almost feel like, I feel like I've been in many situations where, like, it's almost like their fear of maybe being seen or something or being cared for overpowers, like, any possibility of anything blossoming, you know what I mean? Mm. And it, like, it does sadden me a little bit, because I'm like, even, you know, it doesn't have to be something super romantic and, like, long-lasting or anything, but it's like, you know, I just wish sometimes that people were more open to just, like, the moment and being, I don't know.
This is so real. And, like, some of my, like, favorite romantic experiences have been, like, when you see someone's wall come down and they do just give themselves to the moment. Oh. And you're like, yeah. Like, yeah.
Very nice. Praying and hoping soon.
Manifesting it for
Manifest.
You.
Yeah. But also, I don't know. I'm kind of happy. Like, I've found a lot of, like, solace in music and, you know, the world around me and my friends. I have so many great friends who, you know, and, like, you were saying earlier about, you know, such a great support with, like, all the musicians I get to play with. And honestly, I feel really lucky. And once I sit in that gratefulness, I feel like I feel very whole, you know? So yeah.
That's very good. Yeah, I understand. I'd, like, also have to, if I start to find myself becoming like this, kind of, like, anxiously attached, I have to, like, sit and be like, okay, who are the homies? Who am I? Like, you know, like, let me just return to everything here and just, like,
yeah.
And it's all good.
Maybe all the chill. Last thing I'll say about this, though, is that mm-hmm. the more conversations I have, especially with, like, women, and then also, like, I don't know, I was reading Written on the Body by Jeanette Winterson, and it's like a queer romance, but it's very, it just, I felt it so deeply. Like, I'm so glad that we all kind of experienced this, you know, because for a while I thought I was just, like, kind of the only crazy person who was just going overboard with, like, my feelings or whatever. But, like, the more I talk to people about it, the more I'm like, oh, I think this is actually, like, super normal, especially in, like, today's climate of, like, so many parasocial relationships that we form with each other through, like, social media and, like, all of this weird crap that has nothing to do with actually, like, finding connection. Mm-hmm. I think it's, like, even more prevalent now, like, this whole anxious avoidant game.
Yes, I understand. Yeah, and, like, there's a reason why the word situationship has become a thing, like, recently. Oof. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Should we jump into the last song?
Let's do it.
Do you have anything else to say about this one? Or
just that everyone should listen to it.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. And I think I got a deep dive on Angel Olsen.
Oh, yeah. This is beautiful. I love it.
This last song is Song to the Siren by The Mortal Call. Another one with just, like, crazy interesting production. Like, super stripped back.
Listen,
but
I know that I am pushing the boundary of what love song means with some of these picks. I'm sorry, because I heard Poppy, you like them to actually be love songs. And this, like,
I did expose Poppy.
I feel like this is one of those that, like, is teetering on a heartbreak song, which to me, like, they evoke sometimes a very similar
feeling.
This song is totally fine.
Okay, because I feel like this is a little mixture of both, let's just say. So just for the podcast fanatics that might come at me.
I think that this is, like, very much a love song.
Okay, period. Thank you.
I feel like there's, like, so much in it that, like you said, like we talked about earlier, like, giving yourself to someone is so much of what a love song is.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, this, like, I was listening to, like, the last few episodes, and I was like, I say the word yearning so much, but this deep, deep yearning, yeah. Like, that's what it really is. Like,
well, I mean, songs are, music is made for a variety of reasons. And I think one of the hugest ones is to, you know, unleash these very complicated feelings. And I think yearning and longing are such, you know, they're universal, but they're also so complicated. I feel like it's not, it's kind of a foggy in between. It's like a liminal space, you know, where you don't have somebody, but somehow you feel possessive over them. So it's almost like you do have them, but they're not yours. And so there's so much there to unpack. And I feel like that's why so many songs kind of hit on that topic in various ways, because it's like, you could, you know, you could feel any number of things, you know, in that yearning pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's this interesting thing kind of tying back to our last conversation about the other song and what you just said, mm-hmm. that I find myself doing, where I, like, set somebody as, like, a comfort, and my brain, mm-hmm. like, rests on them. Oof. Even though there's, like, yeah. no reason for that to
no,
exist.
100%. No, 100%. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I'm the exact same way. I love to journal, and I used to be very kind of ashamed of how I would journal, or, like, maybe when I first started journaling, I was like, this feels weird. Yeah. But then more recently, in the last few years, I've let myself be, like, as dramatic as possible when I'm journaling, just be like as if I'm in a Jane Austen novel or something. I remember writing recently about a crush. I wrote something along the lines of, like, I already love you. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it's something like, I've brought you to my youth without an invitation. Like, I'm bringing you places, I'm letting you get to know me, but, like, it's only in, like, my mind. It's crazy how, like, infatuation can, like, you know, really kind of drive you insane.
Totally.
You know, it's like letting someone in before they've even asked to be let in. Mm-hmm.
Or, like, proven themselves that they can be trusted. Like, just, yeah. like, believing, yeah, yeah, like, yeah. you know, like, because you've been vulnerable in maybe, like, one way, yeah. or I think you have been, it yeah. just, like, kind of, you just, like, believe that you can just, like, yeah, like,
yeah.
let the doors swing open. And mm-hmm. I don't know, having a lot of conversations, like, in your head where you're, like, what if this person asked me this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm so glad that we're the same in that way, because it is really, it is weird. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna, you know, I wish I didn't feel this way sometimes, but then I guess that's the whole point, though, of letting myself just write it out and be as dramatic and poetic as possible. It's like, obviously I don't love this person. I know this very logically, mm-hmm. that, like, you know, this is just some sort of infatuation, but I think, sort of to tie it back to, like, music and songwriting, it's like, the deeper I can dig into these, you know, these random feelings I have for someone, I feel like the body of work that comes with it is just, like, it's just so fruitful. I guess the only downside to it is, you know, inevitably you do, whether you think you're safe or not, you kind of do put yourself in a position to be let down when you create these expectations of people. But, mm-hmm. but yeah.
It just is what it, yeah.
It just, like, it is just, what it is.
Yeah. I relate so hard. And it's almost like you're really, like, putting someone on a pedestal when you mm-hmm. do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I want to bring it back to this song a little bit, because it definitely does feel like this song is just, like, there's like the deepness and the heaviness to it and the sadness. And I feel like more often than not, these feelings that we're talking about come with this like heavy sadness mm-hmm. rather than being like the light, fluffy little love songs like yeah. that, you know, like the typical love song that you think of where it's mm-hmm. all like light and dreamy and
yeah, you know. it's very mystical and very kind of weird. So the song was actually not written by This Mortal Coil. The song mm-hmm. is written by Tim Buckley, which is awesome. It's off of his album Star Sailor, I think it's called. It's like the most popular one, I think. And there's a few reasons why the song is pretty dope, like besides the lyrics and everything. But so This Mortal Coil is kind of this random band that was like a conglomerate of different people across mm-hmm. time. And in this iteration or like this particular song, it's Elizabeth Fraser and Robin Guthrie from the Cocteau Twins. I don't know okay. if you know this band.
I don't.
Okay. That's awesome band. Me. Great band. But like Cocteau Twins they're known for the fact that like Liz Fraser, like she sings these nonsense words. Like maybe they're real words, but it doesn't make sense. It's almost not even worth it to read the lyrics for it. So I love her as a vocalist. I think she's got one of the most amazing and unique voices in like the alternative rock realm and like dream pop realm. I fell in love with this song because it was so nice to hear her singing something that I actually understood and that was like a cohesive song. And also there's some tea because she like dated Jeff Buckley for a while. And so that's Tim Buckley's obviously his dad. And like, so I feel like the song has a lot of depth for her too. You know, when she's singing it, because like her and Jeff Buckley, like obviously he had a lot going on in his life. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that was sort of like a wedge in their relationship. But she was, from what I've heard, I think she was very like, you know, she was a good thing for him. And I don't know, when I listen to this song, I almost like see their love story a little bit unfolding and like, yeah, even though it's very minimalist, it like feels very cavernous. Mm. Yeah, I love the song.
feels, to me it feels very like there's so much to it. It feels like kind of like it's building up to something bigger, yeah. which I can understand in like that, like, yeah, like history context, mm-hmm, like that, mm-hmm. like social context. It like makes sense that there's so much like emotion coming through with her. Yeah, yeah, and her vocals and everything. Interesting like production on the vocal that does that, like, you know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, and like, again, I feel like all the tunes I chose are very they do have that through line of being sort of like what I would call a devotional. And I think something that's very, that is like prevalent in that kind of music and like Sufi devotional music, which I really love, is like these drones. So what that means is like not a lot, like the harmony isn't moving too much. It's not really like a chord progression, so to speak, but more so just like one long drawn out thing. And then the voice sort of soaring over top. And I think this has elements of that I really like. It almost feels like the sections are all blurred together and it's just one long sort of thing,
yeah.
which I think also, you know, adds to that melancholic, but like very much, you know, ship lost at sea yearning vibe. I mean, mm-hmm. it's literally in the lyrics.
Exactly. Like just wanting someone so bad. Thank you so much, Carolina.
It was my pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. I feel like, yeah, we definitely have a lot to unpack with our various romantic pursuits, various Ooh. Romantic pursuits. Yeah, we'll get into it off the podcast. Yeah, is there anything coming up that you want to promo or talk about?
I don't know if this will come out before then, but my band and I are playing a really cool show at the Transact Main Hall on May 25th. So if this comes out before then if you liked these songs or if you check out any of the stuff that I have out on streaming, that, you know, I hope you'll come if you're in Toronto. And we're working on an album, which hopefully soon we'll have some singles out in the next few months. So hopefully that all rolls out smoothly. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's a big summer for you guys then. Yeah. Yeah. A lot going on.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Thank you again. It's been really, really fun. Everyone listening at home, be sure to subscribe to This Must Be the Place wherever you find your podcasts, wherever you're listening. That's on YouTube. That's on Spotify, Apple Music, Listen Notes. Super hyped to have you listening. We've been having like such a fun first little run of doing this, and I'd love to hear who you'd love to have on the podcast. Anyone you would recommend, leave a comment on Instagram, on this podcast, on any of the streaming. Love to hear who you want to hear talk about their favorite love songs. Stay up to date with new episodes on our Instagram at This Must Be The Place Pod, and find the playlist for each episode there, as well as the newsletter link, which is in the bio. That is the best way to get up to date on all the new episodes, get a little bit more information about the podcast, get information about our guests and who they are as people and how the conversation went. I think that's everything I have to say to you guys. So lots of love to everyone listening at home. We'll chat again soon. Bye.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, Carolina. Bye.